You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Home Field Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call, as today your Indiana Hoosiers defeat Elon by the score of 96-72, I'm your host, Coach Brian Tonsoni. Jared Morris is actually the host, but he's putting Teddy to bed right now. So I'm filling in until the bench comes back in about 15, 20 minutes. I'm here with Ryan Phillips, and we're going to break it down for you tonight on this edition of the IU Postgame Show. But let's start the show the way we start every show, and that is with our banner moment. And I think for me, the banner moment was the ability to get some guys some playing time that did not get to play. A little surprised, but understanding why Trace Jackson Davis did not play. You had the injury to X, so you're down two starters. And I think that it helped some people who do play in Jalen Hood-Schifino get a lot of run and get comfortable at running the point, because he's going to have to do that. And I also think C.J. Gunn had a really nice run, and Logan Duncombe too. These guys can play. They've been biding their time, and when they got their time, they were able to do something with it. I thought the key moment, though, was after a close first half, which saw 6 of 8 shooting by Elon from three with 7 minutes to go. I thought there was a really good a stretch of play, especially by Race Thompson, to stretch that lead out to 35-27 with 4:34 to go in a half, and then up 18 at the half and put the game away. I thought, you know, the defense, we can talk about that, was Ryan, was some good, some bad, still some issues, I think, for Indiana. But overall, I thought the zone attack, once it got settled in, I thought Indiana did a nice job on the zone. So the banner moment for me is just to seeing C.J. Gunn play and seeing Jalen Hood-Schifino, you know, run the show. So as we do every show, it's now time. Home Field Apparel, well on for the team. To talk about our sponsor, and our banner moment today, as always, is brought to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel. Now in their 6th season of sponsoring the Assembly Call, and their 2nd as a presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. As you surely know by now, Homefield has the largest collection of vintage IU apparel that you'll find anywhere, with beloved logos like 2 different versions of the Bison. And if you support other college teams or have people in your life who do, Homefield probably has something for them too. Their product line now extends to more than 120 different schools, with unique vintage logos for all of them. Obviously, I'm a big Home Field fan. Love seeing new podcasts and new national shows being sponsored by Home Field and spreading the great Home Field experience. Get to Home Field and buy some good college gear. So no matter what you buy, you know it's going to be comfortable. Colors last through many washings, and you're supporting an Indiana-based company that came up through Kelly. What else is better than that? So go to homefieldapparel.com and use our promo code HOME for 15% off your entire first order. That's promo code HOME for 15% off. Once again, that website is Home Field Apparel. Wear one for the team. Okay, now it's time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. As I said, Jared Morris is putting Teddy to bed. He'll be here with his thoughts. Ryan Phillips, what are your thoughts today on this game, non-conference game against a 300-level team? But nonetheless, a game that Indiana needed to have after a couple tough losses. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I didn't think they started well, and I tweeted that out. I really thought they were sleepwalking through the first portion of the game, and I think a guy leading that charge was Jalen Hood-Schifino. I thought he looked slow. I thought he looked lethargic. I thought he just didn't look, you know, focused. I don't know if he wasn't warmed up or what. And then as the game went along, you started to see the guy that we expect, and the guy that Indiana, quite frankly, is going to need moving forward with Xavier Johnson on the shelf for at least possibly the season and at least a very long time. I just thought the beginning was not good for the third straight game. And if you count Rutgers, was it 4 of 5 now? They just haven't been opening games well. I don't know what's going on, but it is concerning. What I will say is this game started to pick up. I've got to give a lot of credit to Miller Kopp, who gets more grief on Twitter from Indiana fans than anybody on the team. And I thought he played really well, especially in the first half, hitting a couple big threes to kind of keep them ahead. And he was trying to pump everybody up, and he made a nice play inside. And I thought he was moving well on defense. Tamar Bates came in and hit a couple jumpers to really help them kind of keep Elon at arm's length a little bit. And then what happened is the guys who haven't been playing played and brought the energy that the first line guys haven't had. I thought Logan Duncan played really well with a lot of energy. He was running the floor every single time, something we haven't seen from the whole roster. He was sprinting up and down the floor, up and back. Skill wise, he's at a deficit compared to some of the other guys, but the dude plays hard and he tries. And the more he plays, the better he's going to look. CJ Gunn brought a lot of energy. It was nice seeing those guys get in the game and provide a boost when I didn't think the starters had it at the beginning. I think Race Thompson was a little slow at the beginning. I think he got that lob and that sort of started getting him going. He had a couple buckets before that, but I thought that lob really got him focused and he started to look like Race Thompson, you know, that we've seen before with four blocks in 30 minutes. But the key to this game was those young guys who haven't been playing. They came in and showed what they can do. And even when they weren't making good plays, I mean, CJ Gunn, he didn't have any turnovers, but he was a little loose with the ball and that kind of, you know, threw off some plays and some fast breaks, maybe got a little ahead of himself, but still the effort and energy were there. He only hit one of four threes. Didn't matter. The effort and energy were there. Caleb Banks too, also just being athletic out there, mixing it up. When you don't have those starters, you need somebody to do that. And quite frankly, again, the leadership of this team hasn't been providing a huge spark over the last 2 weeks or so. It was nice to see the backups do it today.
Yeah, and you and I have just a little different take on the start. And I see where, you know, if you look at the score at 27-25, 6:55, I think it definitely shows
they
that
they made a couple crazy shots. I don't disagree with you on that.
That they made some shots and it was difficult. But I really thought Indiana ran good action against the zone. I thought Jalen Hood-Schifino was feeding the post from the very beginning and running the show. I thought he got a great defensive rebound. I wrote down at 15-10 early in the game. The shot-making wasn't there early is what I will agree with you. And the shot-making for Elon was
I didn't think they were running up and down the floor very well. And again, they may, you know, it may be just a hangover from the last game. I don't know what it was, but it just felt like they were a step slow to start when this is an opportunity to blow these guys' doors off. I know that doesn't always happen in college basketball and you know, you don't make shots, you're not going to blow, but I didn't think they came out with a whole lot of purpose and that developed as the first half went along and it got better. I think that when they started subbing guys in, it started to get better. And then those starters came back and played better. But I thought that first wave, I really didn't think they played well. I think that there were some good possessions on both ends, but it just wasn't cohesive. And that's why Elon was allowed to do that. Now, Elon made some tough shots, but they also had – Indiana also screwed up a lot of defensive rotation. The left guys wide open, you know, off of kicks and passes. Now, that happens, but it probably shouldn't happen consistently against a 300-level team for Indiana.
Yeah, I think there's some things defensively that need to be cleaned up, one of which is, and Trace Jackson Davis said it after the Kansas game, the drop coverage is causing problems at the rim. It's also causing a tag to be coming in from the wing, and you're seeing guys getting clean looks from the wing. So I agree with you there. I just thought it was a pretty good performance overall from Indiana, given the fact that it is Elon. It was after a couple big hype games and travel. Sometimes those games are hard to get up for. They shouldn't be. Anytime you play college basketball, you should be ready to go at home. But to me, it was just shot making that was the difference. And I think I texted you guys. I think this is going to explode out a little bit, and it did in the second half. The other thing I will mention is I think the cumulative effect of how Indiana plays. They could have played better, but I think the cumulative effect of the size of the number of players they played and the intensity with which they played with wore down Elon in multiple stretches of the first half and then definitely in the second half. And so I was really interested to see what Indiana was going to run. And when I heard Elon was playing zone, I just kept track of what they're running. I thought Coach Woodson, and I've been a big critic of his offense and what he does and his finger on the pulse and having to put kids in position. I thought what they ran against the zone all night was really good stuff. Multiple stuff. A baseline runner action to start the second half was outstanding with the center screen. a 1-4 high that he stole from Hubie Brown.
Yeah.
And I know that because I stole the 1-4 high zone entry from Hubie Brown, and I call it Hubie.
Coach, he probably stole it from you. It's let's be real.
No, no.
It's stealing from a thief. It's,
if you want to know basketball, listen to Hubie Brown. But it's nice because it puts pressure on the backside of the zone, and they ran that two or three times early. And that's where I felt early. Indiana was running good action. The execution might not have been there. Maybe, you know, we can agree to disagree on the intensity, and maybe they weren't totally into it. That's why they didn't make shots. But I thought Coach Woodson did a good job. I really liked him getting on C.J. Gunn after his three pistols or whatever, that C.J. shouldn't be popping that collar. So tonight I'm a little bit more positive about what Coach Woodson did with his rotations and how he handled the team. Welcome Jared Morris to the show. And Teddy,
hey guys.
How you doing?
We got a guest tonight.
Who wants to go to bed? It's winter, right?
It's Andy Bonner's replacement.
We're having a little bit of a crying, screaming tantrum. So it's basically like the IU Kansas postgame show, really.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. So we just thought we'd do a little reset and come check in on how you guys are doing.
We're off to a good start, except my earphones popped out and went halfway across the room.
Very nice. Yeah,
but
you know, my big takeaway from this game was really, you know, I think, look, it was going to be kind of a weird game without Trace in there, with no X, you know, coming off some high-intensity games. This obviously was a lower one, so it was, you know, interesting to see how the guys came out. And I really thought tonight, you know, Miller Kopp, C.J. Gunn, Logan Duncombe really just played hard. You know, I thought several of the guys, Tamar Bates, you know, really made a point you know, to play hard, give a lot of effort. You know, Race Thompson obviously did a lot of old school Race Thompson scoring in the post, which we're probably not going to see, you know, against tougher competition, but it was nice to see him step up and kind of take on that leadership role. So it was kind of an imperfect start, you know, but I thought really from the middle of the first half and then, you know, after kind of a slow start in the second half, you know, Jalen really got it going. You know, he had those two turnovers, two missed shots to start out, and then, you know, scored 12 points and had a couple assists over the next 5-6 minutes. So, you know, an imperfect outing, but, you know, given who was there, who was not available, and kind of what Indiana was working on, I thought there were some things, you know, some good habits to build on. The rebounding looked better. The defense was sloppy, but, you know, tightened up at times, but still the defense is a bit of a concern. So, you know, it's one of those games you can't draw too much from it, you know, in terms of points guys scored and a lot of that stuff. But I thought we saw some guys get back to just playing hard again, playing a little tougher. And it's a little easier in an environment like this, but that was at least a step in the right direction.
Let's talk a little bit about Race Thompson. This was a Race Thompson of old. I think he was fantastic tonight. I thought he had energy. He did well flashing in the high post. He did an excellent job in the low post, which is where he's predominantly the best at. You know, we talk a lot of times that you got two fives out there, and sometimes maybe he just struggles with Trace Jackson Davis on the floor. But I thought he was fantastic. I thought he did a nice job at scoring. I thought he did a nice job with his post presence, his footwork of moving and taking secondary moves, not just trying to fling shots over people. And I thought he was very active on the boards. Ryan, Race Thompson tonight, your thoughts?
I think like that whole starting lineup, he kind of started a little slow. And again, there's a hangover from getting your doors blown off at Kansas. So you give a little, you know, grace for that. And I thought his first couple times in the first position, he did, as he went up, kind of leaned back and flung shots. Two of them went down, but he, you know, he's leaning away instead of leaning in. And Race, you're bigger, faster, and stronger than these guys. Go at him. And then he started to pick it up. And I agree with the rest of your assessment, though. I think he really was more active than we've seen him. I thought he did own the boards, you know, and this is kind of the situation where if Trace Jackson Davis had decided to leave Indiana after last season, this was the role Trace had. We had envisioned for Trace sort of being that one guy in the post. And then, you know, he played next to Malik Renew, and Malik had an up and down game, you know, and that kind of took some space away from him. But I thought when he was active, I think that you saw the activity level tick up, which has been a problem for Race this year. And we don't know if there's something going on or what, you know, what's going on, but the activity level has been a little bit toned down. We've seen it burst at times. We've seen it in stretches during games, but his all out 40 minute effort just hasn't been there the way it has in the past. And then today I thought that it was much, much better from him. And again, I think after he took that lob, he got that lob. I think it was Tamar that threw it to him. I can't remember. And I think it was Tamar threw it to him and he, you know, took that lob down. I really thought that he woke up big time after that. You're muted, Coach.
Uh-oh, Coach is muted. He's having some problems with his earphones over there.
Yeah. Talk about Miller Kopp. I think he's really come around the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and played well. I thought tonight was another good effort. You know, he fights like crazy defensively. He gets beat off the dribble just because of his ability, but it's not because of effort. He tries really hard, stays with it. What I like is when he is beat, he stays with it and gets some gets his hands on the balls. But I thought Miller Kopp played well tonight.
Yeah, I really thought Miller came out and was playing super hard from the jump, almost like making a show of it. Like, hey, this is how we have to play. And I thought there was a stretch in the second half, three or four straight possessions, where he and Trey Galloway did such a good job on the perimeter of fighting through screens. And Elon just couldn't do anything because, you know, Elon and Trey were just always there the moment they got through that screen. You know, and look, I mean, Miller has limitations. You realize that. And, you know, he was 4 for 9, didn't shoot lights out tonight, but, you know, made a few when they were there. But I thought you just saw him be more active. I mean, 3 assists, 2 steals, a block shot. He just kind of hustled his way into some of that. I was just really impressed with how hard he played. And it really seemed to me like a senior leader coming off a game where they got challenged from a competitiveness level, and he was competitive the entire time on the court. And that's what you want from your leaders. Like, I think that example and just the body language and that stuff matters, you know? And I was really impressed that he brought it tonight from the tip.
Yeah, in his first half, he was outstanding in the first half, I thought, on both ends. And look, Miller Kopp, we talked about at the end of last year how improved he was defensively. Now, he's never going to be an elite defensive present, but he got better as the year went on. I think he's been better this year, too. He's going to get beat occasionally. That's a physical limitation thing. That's not an effort thing. Right. And he is always playing hard. And guess what? Most guys are going to get beat a reasonable amount of times just because of, you know, offensive players can be really good. But you look at Miller in the first half, 10 points. Yeah, he was 3 of 7, 2 of 6 from three. I had no problem with any of the threes he took. 2 assists, 2 rebounds, no turnovers, a block, a steal, and he was plus 16. It was him, Race Thompson, Hood Schifino, and CJ Gunn / Tamar Bates were the guys who were really positive in the first half as it wore on. Mm-hmm. But Miller was good from the jump, and that's what you do as a senior leader. You have to lead from the front. That's something that the leadership of this team hasn't been doing in those big games. It's great to see sort of somebody step up and be like, hey, no, this is how we're playing. Now, it didn't carry over as well as it could have, but as the first half wore on, everybody caught up to his effort level, I thought.
And as we end segment one here, I'm going to talk a little bit about Hood Schifino. You take away his turnovers, which he was loose with the ball, and Woodson got into him, and that's going to be a lot in film session, and he needs to get better, especially in transition. I think he tries too hard and to make plays, and he's got to learn that
low percentage passes sometimes.
Yeah. When you run in transition, you don't want to run into turnovers. You want to run and make solid plays, and he's got to be on that limit of pushing it. But, guys, I thought Jalen Hood Schifino was fantastic tonight in a lot of things that don't show up in the stat line. His post feeds against the zone were fantastic. The ball was getting right to where the post players could be. They were on rhythm. It wasn't hesitation. It wasn't being deflected. And I thought that was an outstanding – I thought he was a floor general on top of his points. He had 7 assists, and I just think that you know, he's doing what he can after a couple weeks off. So I thought he – take away the stats because the turnovers are bad. But I just really was impressed with him in his first role as the main ball handler.
Yeah, you know, and look, he's a freshman. He's kind of getting himself back into rhythm after missing time. We've had plenty of point guards in the recent history of this program who would have lower turnover rates but wouldn't make anything happen. You know, and Jalen is going to make things happen. And it was clear, even when he's struggling in a game like this, he's the best player on the floor. He has the best vision. He has the best body control. He can do the most stuff. You know, and so you saw that. You know, he struggled a little bit, loose with the dribble, loose with the passes. He can hit home runs, so he tries to hit them. You know, and I think he'll get better at picking his spots. But as we've said all along, you'd rather have to dial a guy back. And so I thought tonight you saw a guy who's really talented and used to making plays, but is still just a little bit out of rhythm and still learning how to play with these guys. So I agree, Coach. Like, the turnovers from him tonight didn't bother me so much because he was playing hard and they were turnovers of attacking, you know. And so you can live with that. And, you know, he's going to have the ball a lot with X out and, you know, going to have to live with some growing pains. But you also have a guy who can do things that we haven't had a point guard capable of doing in a long time.
Yeah, I thought Jalen, it was a little flat to start the game. I don't know if that's a symptom of the injury and he needs to get warmed up for it to, you know, feel better and to be looser. But I thought he was a little flat at the beginning, kind of flat footed, kind of not getting into Indiana into the offense quickly. Again, symptom of everybody. And it, whether it's the injury, whether it's, you know, the hangover from Kansas, whatever it was, it just felt very uninspired at the beginning. But as he played, he got better. And actually he hit some shots when I thought he was pretty flat, you know, and maybe that helped get him going. But I agree, as the game went on, he was masterful. He really mastered that, you know, getting him in. And I will say, you know, one thing I've noticed about this team, Coach, and I agree, Woodson ran some really good sets tonight, and clearly they're trying some stuff out because what's been going on hasn't been working and they're trying new stuff. And I thought he did a good job getting them into different things and give them different looks. And maybe that's a symptom of not having Trace on the floor, so you don't have to dump it into him with his back to the basket every time. You can actually run some different stuff.
You don't have to do that even when he is on the floor.
I agree.
By the way,
I completely agree with you, Jared, and they should be running this kind of stuff all the time, but I digress. But I will say that Jalen did a good job getting him into stuff. But here's the thing, is that you've noticed when this team is freelancing and running, they're really good, and they might have better offense in that direction than they do when they're running half court stuff. And that's because there's so much talent on the floor. I mean, you know, fast break points are easier for everybody, but these guys actually, it doesn't even have to be a fast break, but when they're moving up and down the floor, the defense isn't set. They're real good at finding openings and finding creases and finding lobs, finding things like that. And so allowing them to play with that freedom and get up the court a little bit, if they just got into stuff faster, if they just ran a bit more, if somebody ran the floor, they'd get a lot more easy baskets because these guys can finish them. And so it would also, we've complained about the half court offense for almost 2 years now. It would also make you less reliant on scoring directly out of the half court offense. So I really want these guys to get up and down the floor, which we haven't seen a ton this year. You know, there are very few over the top baskets to big guys on the fast break.
You bring up a good point that you beat a zone by attacking it inside, dribble or post, or you shoot over it, or you beat it down the floor. And I thought at times Indiana beat the zone down the floor again and did a nice job of going early. I also thought they fed the post early before the defense really was, you know, could set, even if it wasn't a fast break opportunity. I think that was good. I think Woodson's better right now calling zone offense than he is calling man offense.
I agree.
Think back to Syracuse game last year and how they lit it up. I mean, they run good stuff against the zone. I'm imploring those guys, run good stuff against man-to-man. Don't just settle for the middle ball screen and the low post feed that we run predominantly. And college basketball runs that too, but Woodson and zone offense right now, I think they run some really good stuff. I thought you saw that tonight.
Yeah, I think that one of the reasons they're actually pretty good at that zone offense is they have two big men who can handle the ball and pass, you know, with Trace and Race, and to a lesser degree, Renew. And they have a point guard in X who can get past that first level of the guards and make plays. You know,
where the double's coming from too, sometimes too. And sometimes they don't double, they just pack it in, which is easier to operate out of.
Right. And the defense is, you know, as it says, they're into protecting a zone, which means guys can move and find openings and stuff against it. But, you know, and also that Syracuse game, Miller Kopp lit it up because he was getting open looks. I agree with you that having those, that they are better at zone offense, and it's a departure from the last two regimes. They're really good at zone offense.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, coming up, as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's win over Elon, we'll point out some meaningful moments you might have missed, and then we'll go inside the numbers to highlight the most important statistical notes from the game. You're listening to The Assembly Call. Stick with us.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's going on? It's Christian Wofford. What's the only thing better than an epic buzzer beater? Celebrating it with friends afterwards. Join my guys, Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on the Assembly Call after every IU game. Go Hoosiers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm the coach, Brian Tonsoni, here with Ryan Phillips and Jared Morris. We'll be back after putting his son to bed. We're breaking down Indiana's win over Elon this evening by the score of 96-72 in a game where Indiana was down two starters. Xavier Johnson was out, and Trace Jackson Davis was out too. It's time now for the meaningful moment that you might have missed. It's brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience Indiana University athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org.
Moments that you might have missed.
It's a good segment, Ryan. Meaningful moments you might have missed, but a lot of IU fans probably saw these things. I thought the segment when Duncombe first got in, I think it was at 11-minute mark of the first half, where he got an offensive rebound off of Malik Miss, then got a block on the other end after sprinting the floor, then was sprinting back on offense to get the rebound and got fouled. Was one of his first segments of play, and what I like about that is all of that, but I think Duncombe and CJ Gunn and even Caleb Banks later when he came in, those guys were ready when their opportunity came tonight, and that's what you want from guys who are deep on the bench. Thoughts about Duncombe and those guys coming in, and when they came in, they played hard right from the start.
Yeah, effort. It's just one word, effort. They gave effort all night. And even if it was a little loose, a little crazy, a little manic, it was effort. And quite frankly, they're really, you know, look, these are 3- and 4-star guys, some on the higher end of 3-star, and they can play basketball. Like, they can. And so getting them out there and letting them run around and letting them get stuff done, I mean, thank goodness they had this opportunity. Logan Duncombe, I mean, he's had a few minutes this year and it's mostly been a garbage time. So he was in early in the first half, and that's with Jordan Geronimo out with, you know, some kind of wrap on his hand, Trace Jackson Davis out, Malik Renew kind of being up and down. They gave Duncombe a chance, and I think he earned more playing time. I really do think he earned more playing time, and he's, you know, it's a guy who you're going to need to play well next year, especially because there's no big men coming in. You're going to lose Race and Trace. You're going to have Malik Renew. You're going to need the Logan Duncombe to do some things next year. And I thought that the effort was great. CJ Gunn, we've seen this year show some really good effort. I think that his shooting needs to be better. You know, if he's going to be in there for what he can do, he's known as a shooter. He's only shooting about 25% this year from three. He's got to be better at that. But his effort and energy is there on both ends. That dunk at the end of the first half was amazing and really woke everybody in the arena up. So I liked the effort from those guys. That's the word for them. It was effort. They provided energy, and they were ready to go and take advantage of the opportunity. And I think that if you look at the guys on this roster, hey, you know what? X is going to be out a while. Trace probably isn't going to play until Big Ten play. I see no reason to play Trace, you know, on Friday. Geronimo, if he's hurting, I see no reason to play him. There are opportunities for playing time. Take advantage of it. CJ Gunn's got an opportunity right now. Logan Duncombe's got an opportunity right now. Prove you belong, and they're taking advantage of it. Tamar Bates is another guy. You know, there's going to be more time for him with X out, and he was already playing a decent amount, but, you know, more time and more responsibility is going to be available for him. He took advantage tonight. He played really well. He hit all three of his shots. He showed a lot of energy. He did have four fouls, but showed a lot of energy and was out there, had two steals in 22 minutes. I liked what I saw from Tamar tonight. Second half, he didn't score, but he didn't take a shot. You know, he was moving the ball. He was getting everybody else involved. Loved what I saw from Tamar tonight. So those guys, there's now a void of minutes on the team, and these guys have to take advantage of that. It's an available opportunity, and you're going to write your own ticket with how you play and how hard you play. You play hard, you will get an opportunity. You don't have to score 30 points to get an opportunity. And Tamar tonight, 8 points. We've seen him score more than that. I thought this was one of his better games of the year because he played within what he can do, didn't force anything, and was facilitating for other people. And I loved what I saw from him.
Yeah, and you got to be ready. And I think CJ Gunn is going to get some minutes here. Can fill that, you know, that substitution role for X. I was just really happy with him defensively when he came in. I was really happy with Duncombe's energy level, rebounding, and his patience on his post move. So those guys were ready to come in and play. And then another meaningful moment that Jonathan didn't miss on Twitter. I apologize to all of our Hoosier fans for having an Iowa Cup down here, and I got busted on social media and Twitter. So you might have missed that. I'll try to substitute that out in the past. But I collect all kinds of college stuff. Didn't even think I had that. It was a gift from Fran McCaffrey. He appreciates my comments about the Iowa program.
You're his favorite. It's a reciprocal relationship.
Exactly. One of the meaningful moments in general to lead to a talk on defense, I think two things are going to come out of this game that Indiana needs to pay attention to. One is its transition defense. I thought throughout the night, and especially what happens when Hood Schifino or your point guard scores at the rim, that's usually your get-back guy. You know, they got to work that out because Elon scored, and we know that there are teams in the Big Ten that love to run, especially teams like Michigan State. You're going to have to work on your transition defense. I thought that was a struggle tonight. And then I picked this up too, and it's been a problem, Ryan, since the exhibition games, is the way they're guarding that high ball screen is over with drop coverage and a heavy tag from the strong side wing. And a heavy tag means you're moving off of a shooter to stop the drive a little bit. And what you're seeing is those guys overcommitting or having to stop the drive because the defender on the ball gets hung up. And then there's just a nice little point to wing kick out where the wings can catch in rhythm and hit threes. And if Elon's hitting those threes, I think I counted three tonight. But I remember talking to Coach Yaw when we interviewed him for the community about the closeouts on that very exact play after a scrimmage. So that coverage is something that I think, you know, and TJD mentioned it. I think that's something that we need to watch and see, because teams will take advantage of that, forcing that wing to come in and stop that ball handler. I think that coverage right now is not a good coverage for Indiana defensively, and I thought that was exposed again this evening.
Yeah, and you've heard players kind of talking about that. You know, it's confused. And guess what? Better teams than Elon are going to work on exposing that, and Arizona did plenty of that. And a high ball screen – and you either had a wide open three or you had the big dumping to the post open. And teams are going to exploit that. They really, or as you said, they had the point to wing pass was open as a result because the other guy had to step up. And, you know, against teams that can hit threes, Indiana's going to be exposed. They need to fix that. You're going to have, what, like a week off? I mean, how many days are they off? They're going to be off a bunch after Friday.
12 after Kennesaw State.
It's 12. And he said they were going to get a couple days off, though. So it's probably going to be about a week of practice. You got to change that or fix it or work something out. I mean, Mike Woodson gets a lot of credit for his defensive work in the NBA and as a starter, or I mean, as a head coach and an assistant. he needs to figure this out. And I don't know if Indiana, just the foot speed isn't enough, and it's not the same as NBA guys. And that's, he's running his NBA defense, and it's not the same as NBA guys. They can't recover. They can't switch 1 through 5 necessarily as well as they'd like to, but something's gotta be fixed there, because it's leaving the team exposed. I mean, Elon was able to get good looks at three. I know they hit a couple crazy ones, but Elon was able to get good looks at three all night long. Even if they hit 10 threes, and they probably had 15, 16 that were clean looks. A couple of those threes were guarded that they made, but they probably had 15, 16 clean looks and missed a few of them. I mean, that's not good, especially against a team like that. You've got to be able to step up.
That's been a concern of mine, and it's done. You know, everything you do against the ball screen is strategy. Where do you give up your shots? But we're giving up a lot of them, and they're going in. So another good part of coaching is when you have good strategy, but it's not working out, you make a change. And I just think, you know, the other way you could hedge, when you hedge or trap a ball screen, now you're putting yourself in rotation, because someone's got to go in the lane and pick up the lane guy, and then someone's got to tag on the backside. So you're going to give up a three no matter how you guard it. But when you hedge or trap, you put pressure on the ball handler to make a decision against two. And college guards can handle that. But again, you hope to push the ball back towards half court and then make it a longer pass to where you can close out better. That point to wing pass is a hard closeout, and I just think Indiana's gotten beat on that. And that's something, again, it's not in the stat sheet other than your 3-point shots given up and your percentage. And so I think that that's something that we might have missed, but I think we need to pay attention to it. And I may do a Coach's Corner segment on that, break down 3 or 4 different things. But that is a concern. That high ball screen coverage is a concern. Jared, did you welcome back? I hope Teddy has found some peace. Do you have any moments that you want to bring up? We're still in the meaningful moment segment.
Well, I didn't hear what you guys talked about. Did you talk about Logan Duncan at all?
Yep.
In this segment?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we started off with Logan.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the ones that really, you know, jumped out was that hustle. I'll tell you the other thing, you know, that I saw, a couple things. One, I have no idea if this is meaningful or not, but at the very beginning of the game, as the starters were getting ready to go, Trace Jackson Davis was in the huddle, you know, giving them some words of wisdom, words of advice. A very, very small thing. But obviously, you know, Race kind of stepping up as a leader in that moment. And so that was good to see, even though he's not out there on the court, you know, being engaged and, you know, at least acting the part of leader. And I don't know if you guys have talked a lot about Tamar Bates, but I thought we saw the continued his shot continues to look confident and smooth. And there was one sequence where he made just a terrible pass. He dropped this little like lazy pass off for Race Thompson that had no chance of getting completed. It gets stolen for a bucket. He recognized it, you know, realized immediately it was a bad play and came right down on the next possession and hit a jumper off the dribble, you know, and his first three that he made was right off the first pass, his first touch, stepped up and hit a three from the right corner. He hit two from over there. And so, you know, I think again, is, you know, you look at things that are kind of developing, his development as a scorer and being more consistent as a shot maker, you know, continues to be nice to see, because he's now done it, you know, 4 or 5 straight games in comfortable environments and difficult ones. And so, you know, you're starting to be able to trust it a little bit more. And look, Indiana's going to need that, because the defense isn't going to be quite as good without X. You know, the offense, you know, may go through some rough stretches with Jalen as a freshman and no backup point guard. Yeah. You're going to need guys that just make tough shots. And Tamar is at least showing, you know, now that he can do that on a more consistent basis. And that skill is going to be really important for this team in Big Ten play, I have a feeling.
Yeah, I think Tamar's coming along offensively. He's right up there with the guys that we can trust. Still has a couple moments where he leaves the ball or he gets confused on the switches on defense. He's got to clean that up. But you do trust him offensively now. When he shoots, you think the ball's going to go in. I really like his pull-up game. We're not big on pull-up twos. We don't necessarily want to take a ton of them.
You can make them.
But it is a threat that he has, along with Jalen Hood-Schifino, that a college game needs a little bit, because they're going to run you off the three. And sometimes you don't want to go in against the bigs and have contested shots at the rim, too. If you can nail that pull-up jumper, that could be an asset in appropriate use. So Tamar, I'm getting a lot more comfortable with Tamar and his play and his contribution for this team.
Did you guys talk at all about transition defense yet?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
And we talked about Tamar too. So, Just late on this. Okay. No, I said Jared, and I want to get your take on is Tamar. You know, only took three shots, but I thought he played extremely well in the second half. He didn't take any shots and played extremely well, I thought, and was sort of distributing and was getting a lot of hockey assists, moving the ball, and I just liked what I saw from him tonight, and it's continued growth is what I would say in development. He hit those two threes early. I think that kept them, you know, kind of keeping Elon at arm's length along with Miller Kopp. I thought they were the best two early on, and then everybody else kind of caught up to them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm trying to find, there was a tweet, I think it was William McDermott that sent it out, and I can't find it now, but he was talking about how, you know, Tamar has really become a guy, you know, first off the bench when his teammates make a good play, you know, really talkative, you know, on the court, both defensively, offensively. And he really, you know, he just seems like a guy that's coming into his own and feeling a lot more confident. You know, I think last, you know, it's interesting. You think about kind of the struggles that Malik Renu is having right now, where, you know, he's being too aggressive in moments when nothing's there. And then in moments when things are there, he's hesitating. You know, you saw today, he had that one time when he got it in the post, his man left him, he's wide open from 5 feet, and he really hesitated, not wanting to shoot. And, you know, he's just a little bit off kilter, kind of trying to feel his way through. And I think that's a lot of what we saw from Tamar last year, where the game's really fast, he's kind of struggling with his confidence, very up and down. And it's almost like you're seeing him in real time, the game slow down, get more comfortable, that shot is in rhythm. You know, and I think that's what you'll eventually see from Malik. Hopefully it comes along more this season for him than it did for Tamar. But it really just seems like a light, you know, switch has kind of gone on for him. And it's how, you know, he's a guy that really profiles as a leader for this program just because of his personality and I think some of his work habits. And so if he can step up, and I'm sure being productive helps, you know, give him more authority in the locker room and gives him more confidence to do that. And I think for a team that struggles sometimes with internal leadership and vocal leadership, I think that's a role he can play too. So I continue to be encouraged, you know, for all the reasons you said.
Along those lines, before we go inside the numbers, going back to TJD on the bench, I thought X was very active on the bench. I think that, you know, you have a couple of tough losses and everyone's looking for what's, you know, causing the ship to sink. And I think TJD's gotten a load of stuff. Obviously, he's been hurting and some of the interpreted not into the game, I think, has to be attributed to his lower back issues. But I thought those two on the bench, I agree with you about Tamar talking. He owned up to that bad pass when Woodson was talking to him. It's a whole different body language from Tamar. So, you know, some of my fears about this team is something's going on with this team or whatever. It still could be, but I thought we saw, again, some of that connectedness tonight with those guys sitting out that – sometimes I think we jump to narratives to try to explain our disappointment, not us at Assembly Call, but us as fans in general, the fan base in general. You know, I like to see that bench environment from X being hurt. He wasn't pouting about being out, and Trace Jackson Davis, the same thing. Same thing that Anthony Leal does on a night-in and night-out basis. So, you know, I want to spend some time complimenting those guys because we sure are quick when the body language isn't good or they're not active. Tonight I thought that was pretty solid.
The one caveat I will mention there, because I agree, and that stuff was all good tonight. The one caveat is really the criticism with Trace when it comes to some of the energy and body language things and with some of the other guys is this has felt a bit like kind of a program that's a bit of a front runner. And they do a lot of that stuff when things are comfortable and things are going well. And you don't see that same thing when they get smacked in the mouth and things are going hard. So I think it's perfectly fair to mention it tonight, and it's good. You know, it would have been really bad if you don't see that in a game like this coming off what they did. So, you know, seeing some of that stuff, it lets you know that maybe the worst fears that everybody had after the Kansas game, you know, may not, you know, be realistic. But I do think it's fair to still take a bit of a wait and see and say, okay, the next time the chips are down for this group, who's talking, who's up, who's doing all that stuff? Because that's what they really need to do. You can't do anything about it tonight, but that's what to watch for, you know, when they play Iowa and in the other games.
All right, so let's go inside the numbers real quick. I think the key number, 40% shooting from three, still good to see. Indiana is able to knock down some shots. They're going to need to do that to relieve pressure. And I like 23 assists after a real tough turnover game against Kansas. And again, obviously, the pressure that Kansas brings is night and day different than Elon, and Elon sitting back in a zone. You're not going to do that. But I thought those two stats show that Indiana did move the ball. We talked, Jared, about the zone offense is better right now for IU than man-to-man offense. It helps with the turnovers, and it helps knowing where the defense is going to be and what they're going to do. So I think Woodson and the players both operate better against zone, which doesn't make sense if you're not a good shooting team. But I like those two numbers. Did you guys have any numbers that caught your attention?
For me, and this is something that didn't go well at Kansas, 16 to 20 on layups. They were mostly finishing around the rim pretty well. Also, 37 bench points and 58 points in the paint against 24 points in the paint for Elon. Again, you have the advantage. You need to take advantage of it. At Kansas, they had an advantage in the post, and they didn't take advantage of it. And last, I would just say 39 rebounds to 23 rebounds. Those are the, you know, win it by plus 16. Those are the things that stood out to me.
One offensive Jared, rebound. Numbers? One offensive rebound for Elon.
Yeah.
That's good.
They were getting back.
And we hadn't seen that against the Cupcakes. The Cupcake teams were getting offensive rebounds before, too.
They weren't
taking
seriously.
Mentioned that. In the community, Jared, things to look at, even against teams that are subpar talent-wise, that's important.
Oh,
I'll
one
tell
last...
you the other thing. Go ahead. You know, the other thing to be careful about, you know, we talk about narratives, and sometimes we can get so settled on a certain narrative. And obviously one narrative about this program is that this team hasn't been able to shoot and can't shoot and all of these things. Just keep an eye on it, because this team's shooting.
They're getting better.
Kind of well, kind of consistently now. I mean, you know, look, obviously, you know, through the first five games when you're playing, you know, sub 250 opponents, you don't want to put a whole lot of stock into the shooting percentage. But, you know, Indiana's schedule strength is up to like 150th nationally now. And their effective field goal percentage is 15th in the country. 3-point percentage is 74th in the country. And free throw shooting, they're up over 70%. So there has been clear improvement from a shooting perspective from guys like Tamar, from guys like Miller Kopp. And even around the edges, like Trey Galloway and Race Thompson, you know,
Jalen's been
guys.
Shooting better too.
Jalen's been shooting better. So this is not an elite shooting team by any means, but if they can get some of the other stuff figured out, you know, the toughness and the rebounding and some of the defense, they're a better shooting team to be able to take advantage of the way teams are defending Trace. Now you got to take that into tough environments, but I think there's some reason to start believing that some of the shooting improvement is real. Let's see it. You know, it's only third of the season, but I'm starting to feel a little bit more confident in it.
Yeah, and one last number I think it's worth pointing out is 6 of 7 on dunks. The seventh was CJ Gunn. Right
no legs, CJ.
At the end. Oh, CJ, oh no. CJ,
he's playing too hard,
that much.
Man. Let's give him credit. He was playing so hard, he had jelly legs.
Veteran move here. You played a lot of minutes tonight, more than you usually have. So at the end of the game, lay it in. You don't have the legs, buddy. You'll get there, but you're not there yet. So
and Jalen missed that wide open layup when he was like caught in between dunking and laying it in.
I know.
There's that your 100 points right there, man.
That was rough. Yeah, well. But yeah, that was CJ.
And poor CJ's.
CJ didn't even get over the rim off the back. It was just right to the front of the rim. It's like, oh man. Oh, buddy.
Post game meal is just going to be torturous because everyone's just going to be letting him have it, and probably rightfully so. But
I think what CJ did is actually the closest I've ever come to dunking. Like I did that before, get up and get rejected by the rim. I think that's the closest I ever came. So I can't.
I do that on my. That happens on my 11th Oreo, you know, after you've been dunking quite a bit, you just kind of hit the rim of the milk glass. Yeah, it's that. So, all right, coming up on the assembly call, we're going to hand out our game balls and Hoosier Huddle Award, Hustle Award, discuss lingering questions or two, and look ahead to Indiana's next opponent, all next here on the assembly call.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. and their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The NBA Finals are heating up. Looking for hot takes on all the postseason action? The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, is the podcast to listen to for the ultimate finals coverage. Host and former NBA sharpshooter J.J. Redick not only has a plugged-in perspective on the action from his time in the league, but he's also announcing the games in real time for ESPN. J.J. has the ultimate insider point of view, and he's taking you along for the ride as he breaks down the best defensive schemes, dunks, and drives from each game. And speaking of incredible drives, there's no better place to tune into your new favorite podcast, The Old Man and the Three, than in a standard-setting BMW. Luxury meets power to create a wholly new driving experience. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard, BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hey, it's Romeo Langford. What's the only thing better than hitting a game winner to beat Wisconsin? Celebrate it with friends afterwards. Join Jarrett, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on Assembly Call after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
You're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. Catch us live immediately following every IU basketball game, plus every Thursday night at our website, assemblycall.com. Also, make sure you sign up for our free IU Hoops email newsletter. Over 9,000 of your fellow IU fans have subscribed. Join for free today at join.assemblycall.com. That's join.assemblycall.com. I'm the coach, Brian Tonsoni, here with Jared Morris, Ryan Phillips. We're breaking down Indiana's 96-72 win over Elon. And it's now time for our game balls, which are presented by our friends at Bloom Environmental, where Allie and James and the crew help folks in southern and south central Indiana maintain healthy air quality in their homes and businesses. Learn more at www.bloomenviro.com. And when you mention this ad, you'll get 23% off all their testing services. 23 is in honor of Trace Jackson Davis. All right, Jared, we'll start off with you with your game ball.
A couple different ways you could go with it, I think. I'm going to give mine to Jalen Hood-Schifino, who I thought had the biggest burden of the game, you know, being the only point guard with X out, still getting back into rhythm, you know, with his back, and I thought really showed improvement throughout each half. You know, struggled at the beginning of each half, really got it going, you know, ends up with the 7 assists. I know he had the 5 turnovers, but we talked about those earlier. You know, I just thought his ability to be both a scorer and a distributor, which is what he's going to have to be now. And as a freshman, he's going to have to be counted on. You know, there's no X there. And we talked about how having, you know, X there is going to take some pressure off of Jalen. Well, no more. The pressure's on. I think he's the most talented team, the most talented player on the roster. And we just got to keep him healthy and let him continue to get reps and experience. And I thought you saw tonight the kind of improvements he can make even within a game. So with apologies to Race Thompson and maybe a couple other guys, I'm giving mine to Jalen.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan.
Jalen is a close second for me. I'm going with Race Thompson because he had the double-double, 18 points, 11 rebounds. He also had 4 blocks on the defensive end, which I thought was, you know, important in the second half to sort of establish that, no, you're not coming back in this game. You know, I mean, I know they were up big, but sometimes there's a lull after the halftime break and, you know, the other team gets it to like 8 and then you got to push it back out. He just wasn't having it. And I thought it was quite, you know, if you look at it, it was probably his best game of the year all the way around. I think against Arizona, he just hit 3s. And so that's why, you know, the numbers looked good. He hit a couple 3s. And when in reality, I thought he played his best all around game. And maybe it's because he had more room to operate. But 9 of 13 from the field from him is efficient. And, you know, 18 points, 11 rebounds, 4 blocks, as I said, only had the 1 turnover as well.
Yeah. Boy, it's down to me. Those were the two choices. I thought Jalen Hood-Schifino was fantastic, short of 5 turnovers. I thought Race played his best game and was just dominant on both ends, the blocks, the rebounds. on the defensive end, his post play, his passing. I'm going to go with Race Thompson in just a close battle for the game ball. Very close. But I just thought Race played, I agree with Ryan, his best game of the year. And you know, Jalen's got to just tighten up some things. So I think that's going to go towards Race gets a game ball. That'll be his first game ball of the season, if I'm looking at the sheet.
No, his right. Second. It's his second. You got to scroll down.
Oh,
it's down,
down
there. It's down there, yep. With the game balls that were given to the officials and the fans, yep. After the
I missed game. That. It was a page break in the run sheet. So Malik Renew has one. Trace Jackson-Davis has a ton. Six plus one deflated game ball for Kansas. Xavier has one. Tamar one. Miller one. And now Race Thompson has two. Okay. Now it's time for our Hoosier Hustle Award. I hope this is right.
Yep. Hoosier.
Hi, this is native Hoosier Anthony Leal. I pride myself on hustling every second I'm on the court, so it is an honor to present this episode's Hoosier Hustle Award, sponsored by our friends at Evansville Security Services. Based in the hometown of IU legend Calvert Cheney, Evansville Security Services provides off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals throughout Indiana. Their goal is to provide whatever level of safety and protection you're looking for. And just like hustle can't be measured by stats, but is often the difference between winning and losing, the prevention of bad outcomes can't be adequately measured either, but it can still have a huge impact on your bottom line and peace of mind. So let Evansville Security Services help you prevent a bad outcome today. Go to EvansvilleSecurityServices.com to learn more. That's EvansvilleSecurityServices.com.
Good to see nice Anthony to see get Anthony. Some run.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Welcome back.
So, Hustle Award, Ryan. Who's going to get your Hustle Award?
Logan Duncombe's getting my Hustle Award. I loved watching him run the floor tonight. And I thought that it was something we haven't seen from some Indiana guys in a while. And I thought that he kind of sparked them when he came in early and was getting rebounds. He got two offensive rebounds. He was finishing around the rim. He was 5 of 6 on the night. You know, had a block where he chased down the play and made a block. Got beat. And then kept it going, blocked it, and then went back down and got fouled. After he had the tip in, ran down, blocked the shot, ran back, got the ball back, and got fouled. That sequence to me really started the team going really well, and sort of set it off. I think to CJ Gunn, you got a lot of hustle there. And if you didn't give your game ball to Race Thompson, you give it to him as well. But or Tamar, I thought Tamar played really well too. But for me, it's Logan Duncombe. I thought that sequence was a key sequence in the game, just to show that the effort was there from those guys coming off the bench that haven't been playing much. And then I think everybody else who came in followed suit.
Jared, who gets your Hustle Award?
Yeah, Logan's great. That moment that you just talked about, Ryan, was right at the top of my sheet for meaningful moments. I thought it was great. You know, I think you can make an argument for a lot of guys. And so that's really kind of the most important thing that happened tonight, is guys got back to playing hard. I'm giving mine to Miller Kopp, because I thought the most important thing tonight was hustling from the tip. We've seen the bench guys come in and provide hustle. What this team has really been struggling with is just getting right into the game and getting into it. And as I've probably mentioned it 2 or 3 times already, I thought Miller's hustle was noticeable. And for your senior leader to take, you know, that responsibility and come out and play like that after what they're coming off of, that said a lot to me, and it kept up all night. So you could go for it with a lot of guys, but I'm giving it to Miller.
All right, I'm going to throw it to the chat mob, because I'm going to nominate CJ Gunn. I thought the thing that impressed me the most was his defensive ball pressure when he got in. He was all over, and I thought that really stopped Elon when he was in there, and I thought he was running the floor. He got a nice tip dunk there at the end of the first half by staying engaged. I thought he looked aggressive offensively. I agree with all of your nominations, but let's make sure the chat mob gets a vote in that. So if you would, in the chat mob, it's one of the three. It's Miller, CJ, or Logan. Put your vote in there, and someone count them up for me, because my math is kind of bad. But
we need music to play in the background while the votes are coming in.
While we wait.
By the way,
I don't think you can go wrong.
Quote of the night from Doug. How many fan bases have 300 plus people watching a breakdown of their program versus Elon the week leading up to Christmas?
Exactly. Exactly. That's great. So while we're tallying that up, it's now time for a lingering question. Also in the chat mob, if you have a question that you would ask, let us know. For me, guys, I'm going to go back to the defense. I thought tonight was okay. I thought the game result, getting players to play, but I still am not. The lingering question for me is, can this Indiana team get back to being a dominant defensive team that Coach Woodson wants them to be? Because I think that ultimately has been some of the reason for Indiana's struggles. Obviously some offensive issues as well, but I don't think it's been the defense that we expected. And I don't know that I saw a whole lot tonight that really makes me feel comfortable going forward. I'd like to see a little better effort defensively Saturday. Your thoughts on that lingering question of mine?
By the way, CJ wins Hoosier Hustle.
Wow. Surprising. They held Elon to point. I mean, they gave up 72 points, but they held Elon to 0.96 points per possession. So, I mean, there were a lot of possessions in this game. There's a lot of up and down, but they didn't play great defensively in this. I thought, as you said, a lot of ball screen coverage problems. They let Elon get inside early on a bit, and then they let him hit some threes, and Elon hit some crazy threes, but there were a lot of wide open looks, and Elon shot 47% from the field. And just looking at the talent deficit here, that shouldn't happen. I mean, it really shouldn't. I know you're missing your eraser at the back end, and you're missing probably your best perimeter defender in Xavier Johnson. But still, guys, it's got to be better than that. And so hopefully over the next game, they build to something there. Then when you hit Big Ten play, you're playing your best defense of the year. I think the defense was really good early in the year, and it has kind of faded over the last, couple weeks, and we'll see, what happens next. But that is certainly the question moving forward. To me, I think the shooting is sort of taking care of itself a little bit. I don't think this will be an elite shooting team, but as Jared said, these guys are making more than they used to. Now it's the defense, because you expected the defense to be top 15, top 10 in the country this year. And, with Xavier Johnson out, that's going to be a much harder task, but still, it's got to get better.
Yeah, I think losing Xavier hurts us more on the defensive end than it does on the offensive end. Just because of the ball pressure that he provided, the competitiveness level that he provided on defense, that's difficult to replace. Not to mention, Jalen Hutchafino is going to have a heavy burden offensively, for a guy who's dealing with some physical issues. And as a freshman, it's kind of hard to ask him to be that guy on both ends, carry that burden offensively, also be your, tone setter defensively out on top. I mean, that's what Indiana needs him to do, but that's tough. And so that's where losing X and his consistency from a defensive standpoint, even though he'd struggle, he was a little bit up and down this year, but that was kind of how the team was. So you might have to adjust expectations a little bit for, what the math is going to look like to win games. And that means the defense is probably not going to be quite as good, but it does look like the offense is a little bit better with some improved shooting. And I think you can make up for the loss of X a little bit easier on the offensive end. But if this team is actually going to fulfill their goals, just because the math equation is a little bit different, doesn't mean the defense still doesn't need to get better, And so that's, to me, I mean, that's the biggest thing heading into Big Ten play. They've got to get the defense back to where they can count on it to keep them in games. And then with a better offense, now you should be able to win 12, 13 games, whereas last year you won 9 of them. But someone's going to have to step up and provide that intensity and tone setting. And I thought, to your point, Coach, I thought CJ really did that a lot tonight, really getting into people out front, and he's obviously not ready to take on a huge role, but that's the kind of thing you're going to need with X out. Cause that's, brought that so well on defense.
Jim Strange has a lingering question. He says, what's up with Trey? Hasn't even been looking to shoot. Do you guys think Galloway the last couple games, there's been anything to be concerned about? I don't think he needs to shoot. I think when he's open to hit one or two every once in a while, be a threat. I do like his slashing and passing, and I think that's he had a tough game at Kansas tonight. He was more of a distributor, had some really nice passes, I thought. But for me, I don't think anything's up with Trey. Trey's being Trey, and when he's open, he shoots, but we want other people probably to shoot more. Agree, disagree?
Yeah, I mean, I generally agree with you. I think – You know, look, he's, you know, taken 14 threes this year and made six of them, and he's been really efficient on his twos as well. So, you know, he's picking his spots nicely, and I think, you know, what you are seeing from him this year is not as many of those 1-for-6, 0-for-7 games, you know, that you would see last year. And so he's been much better this year at being, you know, a positive on offense without taking, you know, a lot off the table. But yeah, I think, you know, as you continue to go forward, that's the other thing that, you know, with X out, that's another, you know, reliable outside shooter that's not there. And so if Trey's going to play, especially if he's going to be playing with Jaylen, he's going to need to step up and make some of those catch and shoot threes. So I don't have a huge issue with it tonight, but I do think, you know, as we go forward, he needs to be a guy that when he's open is ready to step up and shoot him. And he has been for most of this year, yeah. But for whatever reason, you know, didn't shoot a lot tonight.
Nope. Well, it's all also right, harder when without that lead ball handler and he's in there and he's got to also distribute, you know, maybe his first thought is move the ball instead of shoot it. So he'll have to get used to that. All these guys are going to have to get used to new roles, especially on the perimeter.
And that's one of the benefits of tonight. You got a lot of players out there. You got some film, got some learning opportunities to find that right mix to fill in until X hopefully can come back. All right, coming up this week, we have AC Radio, Assembly Call Radio on Thursday, and another game on Friday, December 23rd, versus Kennesaw State. And NIU takes 12 days off before they travel on a Thursday night in January to Iowa. So remember to check out our friends at homefieldapparel.com. Use our promo code HOME at checkout to get 15% off of your first order. You're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. And guys, it's time for a last call. Ryan, your last thoughts on this 96-72 victory by your Indiana Hoosiers.
It was nice to see these guys get rolling a little bit and sort of have a blowout game where you can get some bench guys in there, get Anthony Leal back in the game, Nate Childress in there, but also to see some of these bench guys play and stretch their legs a little bit and show, hey, you know, we can play too. Logan Duncan got 17 minutes. CJ Gunn got 19. Caleb Banks got 11. I mean, they were out there and they were contributing and they look like they can play at the college basketball, you know, play at the college level, play college basketball. Indiana could use those guys. You got a thinner bench now. You've got a thinner starting lineup. You're going to have to rely on the guys you gave scholarships to. Logan Duncan earned more playing time. He should play a lot against Kennesaw State. CJ Gunn should play some time against Kennesaw State. Caleb Banks, give him a shot. Tamar Bates had 22 tonight. I think that they took him out just because they were giving run to the other guys in the second half, but he's proving that he can be a guy you can rely on. I think that was the big story of tonight is those guys, those three guys in particular, Banks, Gunn, and Duncan, who haven't been playing that much, they can play. Give them a chance to earn some time because you're going to need them. I mean, this injury stretch has shown that you're going to need those depth guys when your top guys don't play. Trey Galloway has a bad game. Give CJ Gunn some run. You know, Miller Kopp's not hitting his shots. Let Caleb Banks try something. Maybe he's a little more athletic defensively, can create some turnovers, whatever. I just think that the depth needs to be utilized, and tonight those guys proved that it probably does.
Jared, your last call.
You know, I heard and saw several people say leading into this game that, you know, this game and the Kennesaw State game were meaningless and there's nothing to learn from them. And I push back on that, you know, both in our community and on Twitter, because I don't think that's true, especially given what Indiana's coming off of, you know, from a loss perspective. Now, I think you have to be careful what lessons you take from a game like this. You know, Race Thompson, I thought, played really well tonight. I don't take a lot from his offensive production because it's not the kind of thing that we have seen against better competition. He doesn't get those opportunities, you know, and against bigger, stronger guys, he can't convert quite like that. So I give him all the credit in the world for coming out and leading and doing what Indiana needed to do in this game. But that's, I don't take that as saying like, oh, you know, Race got on track offensively and this is going to carry forward. But what I do take is for a team that's really been struggling from a rebounding perspective, holding a team to one rebound. For a team that has had their competitiveness questioned, they came out and competed better. And I think it stinks that Trace is not healthy enough to play in every game, but I think sitting him was a positive, both to get him rest, because you're not going to learn anything about Trace in a game like this, but you get him rest and you give other guys a chance to play, you know, and you get Jalen Huccifino 30 good minutes to help get into a rhythm before Big Ten play. So you have to be careful in these games what lessons you take. But I thought there were some habits that were better tonight, some on the defensive end that are still a concern. But there was some meaning to this game, especially for a team coming off a couple of bad performances that needed to right itself and figure out how to play in some new roles. I actually think these games came at a great time for Indiana. And I thought they mostly used their time effectively tonight, and hopefully they can take another step forward against Kennesaw State before the real next evaluation against Iowa. But there's a lot to improve on between now and then, and tonight I thought was a good positive step in the right direction.
And I'll piggyback on that just real quickly. I think getting with the X injury, getting players some reps in game time is just valuable. Practice is great. Individual development and workouts, great. Getting in the gym late at night and shooting is great. But nothing's better than learning how to play. C.J. Gunn will learn from tonight. Logan Duncombe. And as they're going to be needed to fill in for some of the injuries or foul trouble, the more they play, the better, regardless of who it is. So Indiana wins 96-72. We'll see you again on Thursday.
That's it. We're done. No more questions.
I got you, Ryan. I got you. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall.com. And don't forget to go to join.assemblycall.com to join our free email newsletter. Special thanks to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show. Special thanks to John Ringer of rigsdesign.com for designing our logo. And thank you for listening. We'll be back Thursday to talk IU hoops and again on Friday. Until then,
take it from the green light himself. Keep your elbows in, eyes on the rim, and go Hoosiers.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
All right, I got to get out of here, folks. Thank you.
Hey, the show's over. Here I come, Coach Tonsoni.
Turn your butt cheeks
moving,
on.
Man. Good God, man.
Well done, Coach. Yeah. Thanks for stepping up there last minute as Meltdown City happened here.
The lesson here about that kid meltdown is don't have kids. That's it. As always, that's the takeaway.
Couple things. Yeah, usually I have multiple screens here with all the boards and everything. So I was operating today on just one computer screen. So I hope I didn't screw it up. And then my new earbuds keep falling out. I don't know. I'm old. Maybe I got issues. And then people are busting me for my Iowa cup, screenshotting me for drinking Iowa glass.
That is fair.
Yeah, that's 100% fair.
An Iowa cup?
Somebody posted that on Twitter, and I was like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, that's...
I didn't even know. I just grabbed it out of the cupboard, put some Diet Coke in it. Fran McCaffrey sent it to me. You know, I'm real close.
He does like
Jen's commenting about my hat. It's a little frigid here in Indiana. We're getting blizzard-like conditions soon.
In Indiana in the winter? No way.
No problem, Jared. I got a little better handling the board under pressure without preparing. The more I prepare, the more I screw it up, I think.
That was good. Ryan, we got a lot of comments about how you need some items in your background.
Like, yeah, I just got this desk.
Background.
I just got this desk, guys. This weekend, I'm going to put everything up. This desk, I had several misfires with desks in my new apartment, but all the stuff is right across the room from me. I'm just going to put it up this weekend.
Very nice.
So hopefully for Friday, if not,
are you going to be here for the Friday show? I am out Friday.
I can do Friday. I can't do Thursday.
Okay. We'll figure that out. Coach, you're hosting Friday, right?
I'm hosting Friday. Just be on the lookout. Like, we are getting just hammered with wind, 30, 40 mile an hour winds and stuff. And they're warning about electric outages and everything. Knock on wood. Hope everything's okay. But if some reason I'm out of business.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to be down at my in-laws. Game's at 6. So we should be down there by then. So we'll just have to see.
Yeah.
But we'll be ready. Because.
Yeah. You know, it's bad when they're talking like, we haven't seen an event like this since 1983.
Oh, geez.
In this part of Indiana. That's what the news people are saying. So.
Ouch.
All day Friday.
Can I have a rant real quick to end us here? So I saw that Purdue put out this stupid graphic that says setting the standard. And they've got 74-75 and 75-76 underneath it. And the standard is being the first Big Ten team to be ranked number one in the AP poll in two consecutive seasons since 74-75 and 75-76.
Hey, how did last season end for them?
What teams were those? Right, those were the Indiana Hoosiers. They went 36-0 in Big Ten play, I think it was, or whatever, undefeated in Big Ten play, won a national championship. So, no, jackasses, you're not setting the standard. You're barely following the standard that was already set by the better program to the South. Congratulations on all of your recent success. We're very happy for you. We respect your program, but you're not setting any damn standard. We set the standard. So you go keep losing in the Sweet 16.
Seriously.
That just annoyed me. Don't
drop
the
last standard. Year, Jared.
We set the standard in this state.
What happened to Purdue last year? I forget.
Peacocks.
It wasn't one of the greatest nights of my life or anything, but it's what happened to them?
Yeah, one of their best teams in school history lost because that's what they do.
Yeah. To who?
Yeah, no.
Come on. And look, anybody?
They've been better than us. All credit to them for that. You start trying to enter yourself in sentences with the 75 and 76 Hoosiers? Nah, not having it.
They got beat by St. Peter's, a 15 seed, by the way. That's what I was leading.
Oh, that's what happened.
It's their best team in however many years, have a superstar point guard, and you lost to St. Peter's. Wah, wah.
All right, now I feel
good. You guys, Jared knows, you don't have to live around this stuff. Like, I get it thrown in my face all the time. Constantly thrown in my face.
Hey, what round of the tournament did they go out in 2021? Anybody know? Oh, that's right. The first round. Yeah. Yeah. First round of the Big Ten tournament that year too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great season.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Anyway. All right. That was fun.
Hey, Andy was at the game tonight, wasn't he?
Yeah,
I didn't know he was going to be there.
I didn't either. Good for him.
Yeah. Must be nice to be within driving distance of your alma mater.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Would you rather be within driving? But if you're within driving distance, then you have to deal with that weather.
Right? That's true.
So, That's right.
I said it must be nice. I didn't say I want to do it. I spent 9 years in Indiana and 11 in the Midwest. I paid my dues to move back to San Diego.
That's true.
I survived.
You can appreciate it.
Like, I absolutely can. And never want to do it again. Mm-hmm. All right, guys.
All right, gents.
Hey, Jared, do you need me to send this audio? I think I recorded it.
No, I'll download it straight from StreamYard. So I'll handle that.
All right. Very good.
I got it. All right, everybody. Well, if I don't talk to you all, you guys, and the audience before Christmas, have a wonderful Christmas, wonderful time with your families.
You too.
Safe travels wherever you're going, and have fun.
All right. You too, buddy.
Yep.
Cool. Later, guys.
We'll see you.
See y'all.